The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hello everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Greetings Gossip. There's no Howard today, so it's me, David Byram, and I am joined by Daniel Clark.
Hello.
And Jamie Hawkins.
Hello.
So, plenty to speak about this week with a third round of the FA Cup on the horizon after an incredible game on Tuesday night. We saw City edge out Forest Green 2-1 in extra time. Jamie, you know, just an incredible cup tie, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was after the last one, you thought, that'll be it. It can't get any more exciting than that. It'll probably be like a 0-0 ball, but somehow it probably perhaps didn't quite live up to the first leg, but you know, the entertainment was there. It had everything, you know, goals, drama, red cards, penalties. Yeah, it was a cracking cup tie. You know, it was kind of similar to the first match where, you know, Forest Green went 1-0 up and City were pretty poor in the first half or for the first hour. Perhaps a, you know, little question. Well, at first I was questioning the lineup, but it turns out Tisdale said that Hiram Boateng and Ryan Holley were carrying knocks from Colchester, so that was understandable. And you know, he makes the three subs, Edwards, Boateng and Holley, and for me they changed the game and probably won us the tie. It was just an entertaining evening all round for the neutrals. I said it had the chance to go all the way, and it nearly did. It went to extra time, and yeah, at the, you know, afterwards it was just such a relief, I think, in the way. I think you got a feel for Forest Green in a way, because they played really, really good stuff. For the first, you know, hour they dominated the ball, although they didn't create much in the way of chances. You know, kept Christian Deutsch fairly quiet, which is pleasing, because he's, you know, one of the most informed strikers in the country at the moment. But you know, for Stockley to come out with the goods after having a fairly quiet game, you know, with 5 minutes of extra time remaining, it just shows how patient the players were. I think Tisdale said that afterwards, that, you know, you just got to keep going right until the end, and did that and got a cracking cup tie to look forward to.
And Dan, I was sat pretty much right next to you when you were on soccer site commentary for the club last night. And it's fair to say, after about an hour, you know, just judging from your commentary, you weren't expecting what was coming.
No, I mean, the first hour of that game is one that you sort of can't really remember too much of what really happened. It was a sort of, you know, Forest Green, was a lot of possession, but weren't really doing anything with it, weren't really creating any chances, and Alexa just looked a bit too disjointed and no real, you know, end product. They couldn't hold on to the ball when they did get it back, and it kind of just looked as if it was going to be another one of those, you know, frustrating evenings we've seen a few times this season where it just doesn't look like happening, and you know, you were really struggling to see where the goal was going to come from, and you know, the game was sort of just drifting into, you know, into nothingness. And then obviously Jordan Tilson gets sent off what can only be described as a pretty ludicrous second yellow card for him to know. There's absolutely no need for him to dive in the way he did. I mean, both his yellow cards could actually have been red cards, or straight red cards on another day anyway. And some, you know, suddenly from there, Exeter sort of gave him a bit of a spark of, or just something to, you know, to fight against, really. And all of a sudden, you know, the substitutes came on, and as we were saying, they changed the game, really, Exeter. And then all of, you know, and particularly once the equaliser came, the only side you could see winning that game ahead of a penalty shootout was Exeter. And, you know, when Forest Green went down to 10 men in extra time, I think that was almost the final straw for them. You just couldn't see a way back in that instance. And but, you know, it was for an hour, Forest Green didn't play well, but were the better side. But for the second hour, Exeter were, you know, much better, the side we saw at the start of the season, taking them to the top of the league, and in the end they fully deserved that the win to put them through into the third round of the Cup.
I thought the red card was interesting myself, because looking back, it didn't actually change the pattern of the game too much. Because, you know, beforehand we saw Forest Green having a lot of the ball, not doing so much with it. City went down to 10 men, and it was, I think it was a space about 5 or 10 minutes between Tilson coming off and Edwards and Harley coming on, where we saw Forest Green still control the ball. They created a couple more chances with Doidge testing Pym with a couple of shots from just outside the box. And then I think that was almost a turning point in the fact that then Carl Edwards and Ryan Harley came on. Forest Green had opened themselves up a bit more, trying to send, they had that sort of sense of blood with 10 men and went for the kill. And then City just sort of almost caught them cold on not really on the counter, even just sort of with a sucker punch. I mean, I don't know if you guys thought the same. In the red card didn't really change anything to do with the game too much. In fact, it almost helped City focus on the task at hand a bit more.
I think it almost made City play better in a way. I know it's an old cliche that it's hardest to play against for 10 men, but yeah, it did seem to open the game up, definitely. You know, the first half, I thought we were playing too direct for me. You know, the long balls up to Stockley, which weren't working again, and then, you know, you could tell right from the kickoff in the second half that Tisdale said, just keep the ball. You know, he had Lloyd-Jones playing, you know, the sweeper and distributor, and he did very well in that role. And it was a little puzzling at first when Tilson got sent off and he brought Boateng and Harley and Edwards on, just to who was playing where. And, you know, it started off like a diamond to me. And then, you know, he had Lloyd-James at right back, who did amazingly well, considering that's probably his first time he's played there, since, well, that I've seen him play. And yeah, you could tell the tact was give the ball to Edwards on the left, and, you know, he gave their defence such a torrid time, and they ended up having two players trying to chase him down, and there was one point near the end where he took a pass five and nearly scored a wonder goal. So yeah, it seemed to, I don't know, ignite something in City. Like you said, I think, you know, Mark Cooper was obviously trying to take the advantage of that, and I think he said after the game that if they had 11 men, they might have gone on to win themselves. But yeah, it was pleasing to see that, because, you know, when you go down to 10 men and you're losing at home, it can take the sting out of it, particularly. But at that point, we weren't really in the game at that, you know, that moment. And but yeah, you got to take your hat off to Tisdale for those substitutes, because they were brilliant subs to make. You know, Moxie coming off and he hadn't done much. McAlinney, he tried his hardest once again, but unfortunately it was another frustrating night. Again, he's probably one of the most frustrating players I've seen at City, because he's got so much potential and ability, but you can tell he's low on confidence and hasn't got much of an end product at the moment. So yeah, I think the subs really changed the game and won the game for City for me.
And well, as Jamie says, the subs won the game in a way. So let's listen to what one of them had to say last night, with some words from Carl Edwards.
What can I say, really? It's an amazing game to play in. You know, it's 1-0 down. I've got to come on to try and make a difference, and felt like I did, and obviously we got the win.
Yeah, a difference as soon as you came on, beat the man and pulled you down for the penalty.
Yeah, that's all I've been told to do, really. Get at my full-back and see what I can do. Make dribbles into the box, and you never know what can happen, really.
In terms of watching the game from the first half performance, it seemed like Exeter City, you know, got going more in the second half and created a few more chances than they did first half.
Yeah, I think first half, you know, Forest Green had a lot more possession than us. We sat off quite a bit. I think in the second half, you know, we started to make more passes, and then from that we got it out wide. You know, we ran at them a bit more, and then the crowd came as well and got us pushing forward, so helped a lot.
And arguably better with 10 men than 11.
Tis said to us, like, with 10 men, you've got to stay in your shape and you've got to focus on just your game, really. With 11 men, you know, you can be more flexible. So with 10, you know, everyone's got to do their job, really.
And what were you thinking going into extra time?
I'm thinking just see if we can nick a goal, because really, who wants penalties, really? No, yeah. One. So we just try and nick a goal, see if we can get the win, and we did.
It became very much like the first leg, or the end of the first leg anyway, in the fact that in extra time both sides were going for it, weren't they, in that period?
Yeah, like at Forest Green, you know, it was end to end towards the end, and it happened here again. But this time we've came out on top, so it's better for us, really.
Yeah. And what view did you have of the winner?
Yeah, I just set it to H. He's crossed it into Jaden. Perfect view, and he's headed in, so good.
And now it's West Brom here on Saturday, January 6th. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, obviously for me, it's a bit of a crazy thing. Like, I don't know if I'll be able to play or whatever, but it'll be a good game, you know, Premier League side coming down here. And I think, you know, who knows who could win. It'll be a great game.
Have you looked into the fact that whether you'll be able to play yet or not? Is that something that's West Brom got to decide, I suppose?
No, I haven't really looked into it yet. I guess West Brom are the only ones that are really going to decide if I can play, if Kane can play, so who knows?
On the basis of your performance today, you're probably going to say no, aren't
they? Who knows? Probably, yeah.
Carl, have you had, you know, a few messages from West Brom teammates, you know, leading up to the game or anything like that?
No, not really. Everyone's been more quiet about it, you know. No one's really said much, but everyone just said that it would be interesting, you know, coming down here. Obviously, me and Kane have been here from the start of the season, so, yeah, you know, it'll be good.
And, you know, playing West Brom, did that add a bit more motivation to you tonight in a way?
Yeah, you know, well, you just want to go through it at the end of the day, and to play against a Premier League side in the next round, maybe not for me, but for the team, it's a good opportunity for everyone.
And, you know, I guess it was almost fate, wasn't it, that you would get West Brom?
Yeah, I know. That's the only way it happened. We played the Chelsea game, everyone came in, said it, and everyone was just laughing and joking about me and Kane playing. But, yeah, like I said, it's a great opportunity for us, and to play against Premier League opposition.
And as mentioned in there, Dan sets up a tie with Kyle's parent club, West Brom.
Yeah, and obviously I think both clubs, they knew that was the prize on offer, and you know, third round of the Cup's first time, or and his second time in I think 12, 13 years that Exeter have got there. So you know, the Cups haven't been, you know, favourable to Exeter in recent times, but the draws have been once they've got to the third round. And but unlike the Liverpool tie from a couple of years ago, you sort of look at this one and go, this might be a bit more winnable actually than the Liverpool one, obviously until the team sheet came in from that one. But this is it's a West Brom side who we haven't won since, you know, the first or second week of August. At the minute, they've, you know, under Alan Pardew, they haven't really turned it around at all with the new manager. They're struggling for confidence, they're struggling for goals, they're struggling for points. And you've got to feel that for West Brom, their priority this season is almost certainly make sure you finish 17th at worst in the Premier League. And that tends to make you think they might come in with a slightly weaker side in the FA Cup, even if they come in with a strong side. It's not a strong side on high on confidence anyway, and particularly if Exeter can get back on track in the league. And they've got a very favourable run of fixtures coming up before that cup tie, that it's one that I think a lot, you know, players will be sort of thinking, you know what, we can do this if we play to our best. We can beat West Brom, we can knock them out of the cup and get into the fourth round.
Jamie, you feel the same?
Yeah, I think for a, you know, a club like Exeter, you always want to get a Premier League team in the third round. You'd rather it was away, just because, you know, chance to go to an away Premier League goal. Big allocation, but having said that, you know, West Brom, it's, you know, they are a Premier League team, but as Daniel's been saying, they are struggling this season. You know, that right down there, they're going to be in a relegation scrap for the rest of the season, I reckon. So there's obviously that impetus that there's a chance of an upset on there as well, you know, at least a replay. And you know, knowing Alan Pardew, I know he's got to two cup finals, which is, you know, a great record for an English manager, but you have to feel that he's going to prioritise the Premier League, and you probably will play, you know, 11 youngsters or reserves. So there's that chance that City will potentially get some from that, but having seen Kane Wilson and Kyle Edwards, if that's what the sort of players they're going to be playing, then it is probably quite concerning. But yeah, it's a great tie because there is that chance of the upset, you know. Right, the situation with the ground isn't ideal, of course. Of all the seasons for there to be work going on, it would be when we get a Premier League team at home. But, you know, I think it's a really good tie. It'll be a sellout. It'll sell out straight away. And, yeah, really looking forward to it. It's going to be another great day. We've actually been quite lucky in recent years with cups, you know, obviously Man United and Liverpool, but the League Cup with Hull, Sunderland, Liverpool again. So, yeah, we've had some really good ties in that as well, some memorable days, and let's hope that one will be another one.
All right, so let's have a listen to what Paul Tizzo had to say after the game.
We didn't panic. I know it was a very quiet St James's Park in the first half, but there was no panic on the bench, no panic on the pitch. The opposition are entitled to play their game, and they played it. They didn't create many chances with it, but they got a penalty, and you know, they were ahead. And I have to say, the players kept their nerve really well. There's only, you know, no one but the players got themselves back in that game. And they kept the nerve, and they turned and turned and turned it up. And even with 11 men against us, I think we're back in that game in the second half. We looked likely to score. We got the goal. And going into extra time, I still thought we'd score, even against 11. Just the players really, really dug deep today. And it was a really rewarding win, because it was a tough evening. And they really maximised their performance, and I'm really, really proud of them tonight.
And that double substitution really paid off, because literally seconds later, that burst of pace and you've got a penalty.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan Harley and Hiram Boateng, they were both, I wouldn't say they're injured, but they both had knocks and soreness from the weekend, and the prospect of 120 minutes was too much. So they both started on the bench, and of course Carl Edwards came on and did his thing as well. So all three players made a big, big difference to our performance in the second half and then into extra time. And Lloyd James moving to a right back position did really well as well. So they all played their part. The details were good. The advice that I took from my colleagues on the bench was good as well. I have lots of information coming into me, and you know, I have to say Matt Oakley, Matt Taylor, Andy Tilson, they all played their part in those substitutions, so well done them.
And this is the thing, of course, I mean, when you're down to 10 men and you know that potentially you've got extra time looming, if you do get that equaliser, that's a tough ask mentally as well, isn't it?
It is. I mean, being in that sort of game with 10 men, you do have the simplicity of a pretty straightforward plan. You know, there's not much you can do. You know, you have to stick to something very simple and just grind it out. And all the players had a common focus. And we had the odd bit of talent and ability and skill which just got us the opportunities we needed through Boateng and Edwards. And, of course, Jaden Stockley scored that goal with in that six-yard box. But Pierce Sweeney deserves credit for taking the penalty and holding his nerve and putting a very good penalty away.
And actually, having to do all of this after a long trip to Colchester, which was a hard one, I mean, that in itself, I mean, they have really dug deep tonight, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, don't forget, Forest Green went to Grimsby on Saturday, so they had a long trip too. Forest Green played really well. Both teams made it a very, very good game. The referee was consistent throughout. And I think, generally, it's a very, very good game of football. Of course, I'm delighted to have gone through, and I'm feeling that excitement at the moment. But it was a really good game of cup football.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. Just last one, Paul. Ward is obviously a home game against West Brom. It should be great for everyone associated with the club.
It will be, yeah. I mean, we've got to take advantage of it. I mean, you know, I'll be going to the board asking for the opportunity to sign a player or two in January to strengthen our promotion push. This is an opportunity to put prices up, gain the money when we've got it. This is for the club. We need to make every advantage we can take here, because this will give us, hopefully, there's one or two players I'd like to sign in January if I had the chance. And I knew today this was a really important game for us, because we get through, maximum crowd, surely we'll put the prices up considerably, give ourselves the opportunity to sign those players that I'd like. And I'll be going to the board, you know, possibly writing the email tonight when I get home, because we've got to make the most of it. It's a one-off game. I want to make sure absolutely we don't do what we did before the Liverpool game, which is lose three league games in a row. Our priority is Stevenage on Saturday, and we'll discuss after this conversation, we'll discuss West Bromwich Albion in January, the day or two leading up to that game. Until then, we concentrate on Stevenage and then the Oval and the players here. Nothing of it from me, because we want to win some league games, but we've just lost our consistency in the league at the moment. So this game was about money generating, and hopefully giving me the opportunity to strengthen the play or two in general.
And feel good factor that will generate within the club. You hopefully that, you know, like you say, get that league campaign really going up until the West Brom game.
Yeah, well, it's a balance. Like I said to you, we failed for the Liverpool game, I think, in terms of our focus. I mean, we spoke about it all the time, but we ended up losing too many games. I think we lost to Dagenham and Luton. There's one other actually in that spell. We mustn't do that again. So we'll think about only Stevenage, and then only Yeovil, and then etc. etc. now for the next few weeks.
And some interesting comments from Paul Cesar there, particularly about taking advantage of the West Brom tie. What are your thoughts on it, Dan?
Well, sort of, you know, obviously heard him say, obviously this, you know, this time 2 years ago, they got through to the third round of the Cup, drew Liverpool at home, and then they didn't win a single game until after the Liverpool Cup tie, and it sort of, it felt a little bit like, it was almost too much focus looking ahead to Liverpool. This is the big game against Liverpool, it's on BBC, it's, you know, the be all and end all, sort of just forgot about the league form, just went horribly away, and it was, wasn't even a, you know, it was a run of fairly easy fixtures around the Christmas period then as well, and you know, and they didn't win any of them, and it sort of in the end set them back so much that it, you know what was a looking like a fairly possible promotion bid ended up just ending up sitting in the mid table going nowhere in the end, and they can't let that happen again this time. You've got to sort of look at it and go, okay, we've got West Brom in the in the FA Cup, but actually we've got five fixtures before then, and you've got to just forget about it really at the minute, and you know, put the priority back on the league, because you know, unless Exeter go really far in the FA Cup, this is sort of quarterfinals, semi-finals, then you know, it's hard to think that any Exeter fan realistically this season that you know would be thinking they'd rather have a you know an okay-ish cup run than get promoted. I mean, the aim for Exeter this season has always been promotion, be automatic or via the playoffs, and that's the priority, not the FA Cup. You know, they've done well, they've got to the third round, you've got your big draw, but you've got to, you know, forget about that until, you know, January the 1st. Now it's, you know, it's almost, you've got to put it behind you, focus back on the league. It's five pretty winnable games until then as well. You'd be wanting sort of 10-12 points from those, and just to build some momentum and come into that tie in great form.
And Jamie, Paul Cesar says here, you know, he's looking at maybe making a couple of signings in January, and you know, he's called on the board to help him with the money from this cup tie. I mean, that's a pretty big sort of I guess a pretty big rallying cry from him, isn't it?
Yeah, I think when you first heard about that, fans were quite outraged about it. But when you look at it, and you know, when you think actually putting the prices up may pave the way for some extra signings, I don't think many would complain too much. You know, they have put the prices up, of course, but I think you have to remember as well that they've only got half a stadium at the moment. You know, so you know, you're going to have to make the money back somehow. Yeah, obviously, you know, the game's not going to be on TV as well. There's obviously a good prize money, and if it goes to replay, there's the extra cash incentive there as well. So, you know, in a way, it's kind of smart talk from Tisdale. You know, perhaps most managers think that, you know, putting the prices up will actually, you know, give more cash in the kitty, the transfer kitty. I think it's a realistic talk as well that, you know, Exeter City aren't a club full of, you know, rich, and, you know, every penny does go a long way into providing the transfer funds, and, you know, with the games, with Christmas coming up, it's going to stretch the squad fully. It's good to be in a position where you've got a nice, strong squad, whereas previous years we haven't really had that. So, yeah, it's good that he's already looking at strengthening, whether it will be what position it will be, whether it will be a loan or permanent, we don't know yet, of course. But I think he's got to consider as well that Kane Wilson and Carl Edwards will be departing soon, unless they choose to stay on. Hopefully, they do. But yeah, I think, you know, having seen the prices up by about £5, it's okay, it's a bit more than, you know, you usually pay. But given the situation with the club, the stadium, the big tie that it is, I think it's quite smart actually.
And as Paul says, I said they do need to focus on the league before this game. And next up, it's a league match against Stevenage, and a, you know, a requirement really to get the form back on track after Colchester.
Yeah, I mean, it seems you know, slightly strange to say this, you know, but Exeter are still fourth in the league, which is only a point or so behind Accrington in third, which sort of just shows how great the form was at the start of the season, but also how other than Luton and Notts County, there's a lot of sides beating each other in and around this division. Exeter, I think it's something like 3 wins in 12 going into last night's game, and yet they're still in fourth place. So it sort of shows that, you know, if you can just put a run together, you can almost get yourself out of sight from anyone. I mean, it's, you'd be looking at the Stevenage there, they're in the bottom half, they're not, you know, a great side. They've, you know, had some battles with them in the past, but you'd fancy Exeter if, you know, if they play like they did last night, or for the second half of last night, they should have enough, you know, to get over the line. As we've been saying, the next run of fixtures, it's Yeovil and then Forest Green and Barnet at home, and you'd be looking at those games and you'd be going, well, 10, 12 points out of 12, really, realistically, if you want to, you know, be a genuine promotion contender. Those are games against three home games against sides in the bottom six or seven, and then an away game to a side down there as well. And, you know, they do need to get the league form back on track, because you can't just let that drift and all of a sudden, you're outside the playoff spots, and it's another season of, you know, what might have been, what could have been, particularly if you are going to, you know, Portis Gill is going to spend a little bit more money. It does sort of ramp the pressure up just a little bit, you know. If you're spending money on players and you're still not getting out of the division, then, you know, you've got a question with whether the money's been spent wisely. But you'd hope that, you know, they can carry on from Tuesday night and pick up the 3 points that you feel they'll be expecting.
And Jamie, would you make any changes from Tuesday? Obviously, Jordan Tilson out, Dean Moxie, I think, is a doubt. But on the positive side, Lee Holmes possibly could be back. So,
that would be a big plus if Lee Holmes is back. I think we missed him, really. But yeah, I can see him making changes, you know, playing 2 hours of football on Tuesday night, and to consider, got what, 4 games in 9 or 10 days coming up over Christmas, so you've got to exercise your squad fully there. You know, Stockley playing the whole game, although he scored, will he start again? It would be good to see him start again, but I wouldn't be too surprised if Ruben Reid gets the nod, like he did at Colchester. It's going to be, you know, hard to call the team, sorry. I think he'll make a few changes. You know, like I said, Tilson's out and Moxie's a doubt, but Lee Holmes, if he's fit, possibly might not start straight away, depending, you know, how fit he is. It'd be good to see, you know, Harley and Boateng back in the team. I know they're on the bench because they picked up some knocks at Colchester. So, it's going to be hard to call the team, the starting 11, but I wouldn't be surprised if he makes 4 or 5 changes for me.
Finally then, predictions. Dan, your prediction?
I think City will carry on good form and win 2-0.
Jamie?
Yeah, close 2-1 win for City.
I am going to go with a 1-1 draw. I think that's
negative.
First time I've not predicted City to win, so they probably will do. So that's everything from this week's Greetings Gossip, and join us again next week when I'm sure we'll have plenty more to talk about.